the same time, in that very same garden, Sita came with her assistants. She was coming there to visit one temple of Girija. Do you know who is Girija? Parvati. Yes, born from the mountain. That's Parvati. So she's going to do her morning worship of Parvati. And she's accompanied by her girlfriends. And they were singing as they're coming to the temple of Girija. And they take a bath in the lake, and then they go to approach the temple. There she offers worship to the goddess. While this is going on, one of her companions had wandered off to have a look at the garden. And as she's doing this, she happens to notice the two brothers. And she goes back to Sita to report what she has seen. Right? So she's all excited. She reports to Sita. And she asks them, "Tell us what gladdens your heart." And they report the following. "Two princes have come to see the garden, both of tender age and charming in every way. One is of dark hue and the other is fair." So which is which? Ram is dark. Lakshman is fair. "How shall I describe them? For speech is sightless, while the eyes are mute." Speech is sightless, but the eyes are mute. The eyes cannot hear. The speech cannot see, the eyes cannot hear. So how shall I describe them? And so they go on discussing, "Oh, these must be two young princes who came with the sage, Vishwamitra," and so on. And so like this, Sita is listening and she is becoming very interested in what she hears. Sita recollects what Narada had said to her sometime earlier about Rama. And her mind becomes filled with innocent love. And with anxious eyes, she gazes all around, looking like a startled fawn. You know what a fawn is? Fawn is a baby deer, female baby deer, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Kankana kinkini nupura dunisuni kahata lakana sana rama hridayaguni. It's speeding up now. There's some action happening. Manahu madana dum dundubi dinhi. Manasa vishvabijaya kaha kinhi asakahi pirichitai tehi ora siya mukasasi bai nayana chakora bai evilochana charu achanchala manahu sakuchi nimitaje diggam chala, etc. I'm not speaking it properly. Hearing the tinkling of bangles, the small hide round the waist, and the anklets of Sri Ram, tied around the waist and the anklets of Sita, Sri Ram thought within himself and then said to Lakshmana, it seems as if Cupid has sounded his kettle drum with intent to conquer the universe. So saying, he looked once again in the same direction whence the sound came, and lo, his eyes feasted themselves on Sita's countenance, on Sita's face, even as the Chakora bird gazes on the moon. So this is the first moment that Rama sees Sita. His charming eyes became motionless, as if Nimi, the god of winking, had left the eyelids out of shyness. Sri Ram was filled with rapture to behold Sita's beauty. He admired it in his heart, but utterance failed him. He could not speak. He felt as if the Creator had put his whole creative skill in visible form and demonstrated it to the world at large. She gives charm to charm itself, he said to himself, and looks as if a flame of light is burning in a house of beauty. The similes already employed by the poets are all stale and hackneyed. They're worn out. To whom shall I liken the daughter of Videha? Sundarata, kahu sundara karai. How shall that beauty be described? Feel compassion for Ravana. Poor guy. Sorpanata. Yeah. Well, that's coming. Yeah, description of Rama. Okay. Let me just check. I made some notes about what I want to call attention to. Okay, well, a little bit. 225. Okay, 231. Let's just go there. Yeah, I'm gonna move forward. So Sita immediately understands this is Ram, this is my man, right? He's my man. So she goes back to Parvati and prays to her, "Can you help me out here?" And Gauri, Parvati, immediately responds and says, "You got nothing to worry about. It's all, yes, no problem." So she went home all excited. Now, this is interesting. Rama also sees Sita, and he understands she's my gal. Yeah. Right? Now, Rama is Maryada Purushottama. So when he goes back to the ashram of Vishvamitra, the first thing he does is he reports to the sage what he has seen. He doesn't keep it to himself. You know, keep that a secret. That I'm keeping for myself. Anyway. So, no, he reports, according to Tulsidas, everything to Kaushika, Vishvamitra. He says, "For he, Rama, was innocent of heart and free from all guile, from all crookedness. Having got the flowers, the sage performed his devotions." And then he blessed the two brothers, saying, may your heart's desire be accomplished. So, Parvati has blessed Sita. Vishvamitra has blessed Rama. So we all know what's going to happen, right?
Well, what's going to happen?
Well, that's actually the feeling everyone has, as if we don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen? People go, they attend, especially in Ramnagar, just across the Ganga from Varanasi, every year in the month of September, for 1 month, they perform Ram Lila, and the Ram Lila they perform is the Tulsidas Ramcharitmanas, which everyone already knows, backwards and forwards. But they all go, and they want to see it again. And they're waiting. What's going to happen next? They all know what's going to happen next. Okay, the next page is a very nice discussion about comparison of Sita with the moon. Now, in Indian classical Sanskrit poetry, it's just as standard can get that a woman's face is compared to the moon. I mean, that's just kind of, you know, it's got to be there, right? That kind of comparison. But here, Tulsidas says, no, it's not going to work. No comparison. So he's actually minimizing the glories of the moon here. Actually, it starts on the previous page, I think. Yes. Okay, so the day is over. Rama has gone to Vishvamitra. In the meantime, the charming moon rose in the eastern horizon. Perceiving that her orb, the form, resembled Sita's face, Sri Rama felt happy. The Lord then reasoned within himself. The queen of night bears no resemblance to Sita. Born of the ocean, which means born of salt water, with poison for her brother. The churning of the ocean of milk produced various children, we can say. One of them was the moon. First came poison, and eventually the moon came. So the poison is the brother of the moon. This is what Rama is thinking, according to Tulsidas. Dim and obscure by the day, and with a dark spot on the orb. How can the poor and wretched moon be matched with Sita's countenance, with Sita's face? Furthermore, the moon waxes and wanes. It gets more full and it recedes. She, the moon, is the curse of lovesick damsels, ladies pining, longing for their lover, and is devoured by Rahu when she crosses the latter's orbit. She causes anguish to the Chakravaka, it's a kind of bird, and withers the lotus. O moon, there are numerous faults in you. One would incur the blame of having done a highly improper act by comparing you with the countenance of Videha's daughter. So like this, he's we would say in English, Lord Ram is moonstruck by seeing Sita. And now he's thinking, Sita, Sita, Sita. And he sees the moon and he says, no, no comparison. So like this it is going on. Okay, now the next day is the occasion of the what is it called? Svayamvara, that's the word I want, yes. And there's a description of Rama coming into the arena where this is going to happen. And I think this description will remind some of you, maybe all of you, of a passage in the Bhagavatam. Everyone looked at the Lord's form according to the conception each had about him. Those who were surpassingly staunch in battle gazed on his form as though he was the heroic sentiment personified. The wicked kings trembled at the sight of the Lord, as if he had a most terrible form. The demons, who were cunningly disguised as princes, beheld the Lord as death in visible form, while the citizens regarded the two brothers as the ornaments of humanity and the delight of their eyes. With joy in their hearts, the women saw him according to the attitude of mind each had toward him, as if the erotic sentiment itself had appeared in an utterly incomparable form. The wise saw the Lord in his cosmic form, with many faces, hands, feet, eyes, and heads. And how did he appear to Janaka's kinsmen? Like one's own beloved relation. The queen, no less than the king, regarded him with unspeakable love, like a dear child. To the yogis, those ever united with the Lord, he shone forth as no other than the highest truth, placid, unsullied, equipoised, and resplendent by its very nature. The devotees of Hari beheld the two brothers as their beloved deity, the fountain of all joy. The emotion of love and joy with which Sita gazed on Sri Rama was ineffable, indescribable. And it goes on to describe her emotion. So does that remind you of something? Yes, and that verse goes like this. Malanam mashaniyaninam naravarastrinam smaro murtiman gopanam svajano satam kshitibhujam shasta svapitro shishu mrityur bhojapate virana vidushang tatvang param yoginam rishninam paradevate tivirito Rangangata Sagraja. This is chapter 43 of Canto 10, verse 17. The Vina regarded Krishna in different ways, their brother. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt. The men of Mathura as the best of males. Naravara. The women as Cupid in person, Smara Murtiman. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, the men of Mathura as the best of males, the women as Cupid in person, the cowherd men as their relative, the impious rulers as a chastiser, his parents as their child, the king of the Bhojas as death, the unintelligent as the supreme lord's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as their supreme worshipable deity. So the Lord is perceived in so many different ways. And this applies to us as well. Whatever our relation to Krishna may be, or Rama, so in that way the Lord will appear to us. As I remember, it is. I don't know that it's as extensive, but some idea like that is there, as I remember. Yeah. Time, what's the time? Oh, it's getting late. Maybe we should stop there.
Yes. Tulsi base his Tulsi Manas
Acharita on. Ramcharit Manas. I believe he's basing it on the Valmiki Ramayana, but he's taking what you might call poetic license. According to Rupa Goswami, that is permitted for the dramatist, for the poet, for the sake of bringing out rasa. It is permitted to take liberties with Shastra. Rupa Goswami mentions that in his book on dramaturgy, which is called, I'm forgetting the name. Anyway, it's mentioned there. Yes, the Nataka Chandrika. Yeah. Yes, Atma.
You mentioned, I wasn't sure if I heard properly what you said towards the beginning of your class about how the Tulsi Das's version of Rama's Leela is mixed between Nirguna Bhakti and Sadguna Bhakti. Does that not mean mixed between impersonalism and personalism?
Well, apparently he would not see it that way. I asked, most of you don't know, Radha Govinda Swami is one of our sannyasis in India. You know Radha Govinda Swami, Maharaj, who has he's very, very learned in the commentaries of the Acharyas and of Bhagavatam. He gives seminars, he gives Bhagavat Saptaha in Hindi, especially on Bhagavatam. And he knows also the Ramcharitmanas very well. I think he's one of these people who probably has, if not the whole thing, memorized. Yeah. I mean, he really knows. So I asked him, is the Ramcharitmanas, you know, is it okay, philosophically speaking? And he said, yeah, yes, of course. Yes. So I felt that his endorsement was appropriate. And what I found so far, I haven't read the whole Ramcharitmanas, but I find that actually whatever what we might call non-dualism that appears is no it's not really different from the non-dualism you'll find in the Bhagavatam. There's a lot of, you'd be amazed, there's actually a lot of non-dualism there. It tends to get translated in more devotional ways by our acharyas, but it's still there. Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yadgyanam advayam advaya jnana means non-dual knowledge. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanditi shamyate. So there is this, in our own philosophy, there is a simultaneous, an inconceivable simultaneous non-dualism and dualism. Jiva Goswami explains that of the two, the dualism is the more important. It prevails. Because without it, how can there be bhakti? How can there be devotion? But still, the non-dualism is also there. It's not rejected. Similarly, as I understand with the Ramcharitmanas, it's the same idea. Yeah.
This is one of the things that Prabhupada said about it.
I know, Prabhupada said something not so...
No, this is not so bad.
Okay.
So this verse, then dot, 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 are this respectable Indian lady who began Ramayana. This Tulsi actually is not Ramayana. It's called Ramacharitamanasa. Ramayana means Valmiki Ramayana. People have taken it as Ramayana. Actually, Tulsi Das has expressed his own feelings about his devotion to Lord Ram. Therefore, he has named it Ramacharitamanasa. His mind full with service attitude for Lord Ram. That is the real meaning of this book. People have misinterpreted it. They're going on, it is Ramayana. And Ramayana, of course, anywhere where Raman's activities are described, that is called Ramayana. That is another sense. Mm. The real Ramayana means the Ramayana composed by Valmiki, Ramayana. Mm. Ramayana composed by Maharshi Valmiki. And it is a popular notion that this is Ramayana. But actually this book is called Ramacharitamanasa. So some of the description of Ram are there, but not all the description. Rather, there are many differences from the original Valmiki Ramayana. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is a song of a devotee for his Lord Ram. In that sense, you can call it Ramayana. But this book is actually Ramacharitamanasa.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so that's not...
This is 1968.
He gives credence to all aspects.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Parasaram's approach to Ram.
Yeah.
One was the lifting of the bow and the breaking of the bow. Using the breaking of the bow, that was the prelude before Ram actually did it. So Parasaram, it seems like, using conjecture, he knew what was going to happen.
No, the bow was already broken.
But then, how can you say he approached before?
Before the wedding.
Before the wedding. Ah, but after the breaking of the bow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he finds out that he's broken Shiva's bow and he's really angry. And in Tulsidas' version, it's really quite entertaining. Lakshman turns out to be quite a character.
Right.
He talks in a very joking and disrespectful way with Parashuram, such that Parashuram says again and again, "I'm going to kill you." You see this axe? I have to kill you now. You're too much. And just when he really is about to lose it, Rama says, Lakshman, please, chill out. And then he kind of pacifies Parashuram. But then Parashuram gets more angry at Rama. And it goes on like that. It's quite fascinating conversation. Yeah.
There was an English poet who wrote a explanation that in six parts of that Latin discussion between Lakshman and Parasaram.
Oh.
I have that poem if you're interested.
Oh, I'm definitely
really,
interested. Yeah.
Really, really amazing.
Yeah.
Each of the words of the dialogue is emphasized.
So, okay. So. Yeah, I'm interested in that. Thank you. Right. Yes.
Can you please explain how come Nrisimhadev is also one of the principal?
This question came up in Singachalam, Germany, and none of us had a particularly satisfying answer to it. Personally, I think it has to do with the fact that Nrisimhadev protects Prahlad, and that Prahlad is the ideal devotee who takes full shelter of the Lord in his helpless condition. And the Lord appearing to reciprocate with that total surrender in that condition of utter helplessness and danger is a kind of special model for the devotees. Another explanation could be, here we start with our speculation time, it always starts around this time of day, that because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we worship Lord Nrisimhadev in order to purify the heart so that Radha and Krishna can take their place and we can worship Radha and Krishna properly. So, in a sense, Nrisimha's worship is preliminary. In that prayer in fifth canto, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasinghaya, Namaste Jas Tejase Aviravir Bhava, Vajranaka Vajranangsta, Karmashayan Randhaya. Please remove Karmashayan Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swa. Remove this tendency for fruitive activity from my heart. Abhayam, abhayam, atmani bhavishta, om,
shram.
That's the other part.
Yes, jai nitai.
Referring to this, there is, in Bhagavatam, there's a verse which refers to Sri Prahlad as a person who is influenced by Krishna Graha. Always absorbing Krishna. So it makes sense that, according to this statement, that if Prahlad Maharaj is Krishna Bhakta, which this verse would kind of prove, then it would make sense that his Lord would appear in such form to protect him.
Okay, sounds good.
Krishna Graha in Bhagavatam is kind of true.
Is it Krishna Graha or is it Krishna Graha? I understand that, but anyway, that's just a matter of diacritics. Okay, nice. Well, agraha means to accept, to grasp, to long for, whereas...
Yeah, it's referring to the plan.
Oh, okay. Okay, then it would be Krishna Graha. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, Krishna Graha. Yeah, the Krishna planet.
Yeah, Prahlad's saying, I'm not under the influence of the external energy. I'm under Krishna's influence.
I'm under the Krishna Graha. Oh, that's interesting. So, kind of, that's a nice verse for astrologers. Thank you. Yes. Okay. I think we'll end then. And we continue. What time do we have? tomorrow? Oh, you have announcements now. Okay. Jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaura Premanande. Jai.